following is a paid program and does not necessarily reflect the opinions of the staff or management of Visionary Related Entertainment.
In the sun, where the ocean and mountain and sky are one, it is part of a much higher plan.
Good morning. It's 7:06 on a Monday morning, and welcome to Creating Mauitopia with your host, Lori Kopelman. It's a show about how we can help Maui become a better place. And we're going to be opening up the phone lines pretty soon here, so write this number down, 242-7800, 242-7800. And now here's your host, Lori Kopelman. Good morning, Lori.
Thank you, Gary. Good morning. And I'd like to encourage everybody. I know I've been in the past very shy to call in, but this morning we'd like to make the show really about you guys. So I'll just start out by talking a little bit, but then please do call in and let's have a creative show where we never know what will happen. Again, my name is Lori Kopelman, and I wrote a booklet available online for free at mauitopia.org. And let me start off by reading the definition. Mauitopia will be an ideal utopian society of the future. A first-of-its-kind place in the world on the scale of over 100,000 people, where thanks to technology, all of us have our survival needs met of food, clothing, and shelter, while pursuing our individual self-actualization. A place where we find true happiness by each contributing our unique gifts to the community. A place where we can all coexist in peace and harmony with no crime, and where we can all help each other grow and succeed. Mauitopia's free market economics will be based on regulated capitalism and make the island a real paradise. Maui truly no ka'oi. So that's the definition of Mauitopia. And I'm going to go over the last chapter in the booklet, which is how we get there together, because, again, it's going to take all of us. There's 150,000 people on this island. And to bring Mauitopia about, we're all going to have to do this. So to bring about Mauitopia, each of us and our society collectively will have to do their part. Only with initiative and action will this first-of-its-kind society come into being. Below are some actions you can take to help make things happy. Number one, take full advantage of the aloha spirit here. Have a smile on your face, laugh a lot, and treat everyone in a nice way. Live aloha. And let me for a second interject that I wear a button on my shirt that says, "Am I smiling?" And somebody came up to me a few months ago and said, "What's wrong?" And I said, "I don't know that anything's wrong." And they said, "You're not smiling," and pointed to my button. And I said, "Okay, I got you. Good point." I think smiling has a lot of power. Being nice has a lot of power. Number two, get serious about becoming a healthy person. Do what it takes. Healthy people can contribute a lot, each in their own way, rather than burden our society. Now, I'm saying that as a person who has multiple sclerosis and I use a walker to walk. But that's okay. We all have some of our God-given gifts and ailments, and yet we can still be a contributing member of our society. Number three, embrace and make use of the ever-changing and improving technology. This will require spending some time to learn how to use it and to keep current on new versions of software for your computer. Number four, move to a job you love to do. If you can't find one, then find one that gets you on the right track towards one. This can include apprenticing and waiting your time for a more ideal job to become available. Number five, do at least one random act of kindness, RAK, on a daily basis. Examples might include picking up a piece of trash, yours or not, and throwing it away, adding coins into a stranger's about-to-expire parking meter, and helping lost pets, like a dog or cat, find their way home. The recipients of these good deeds will really appreciate it. Number 6, do what you can to conserve energy and materials. If you haven't done so already, start recycling immediately. Buy a hybrid vehicle. Bike places instead of driving. Carpool. Buy a solar water heater to save electricity generated by fossil fuels. 7. View learning as a lifelong process. We only have to look at the changes that have occurred in our own lifetime to see why. Who knows what the years ahead of us will bring? How exciting! While it could be overwhelming at times, why not keep up? Use books, newspapers, TV, the internet, movies, and whatever to learn consciously. To learn continuously. Number 8. Assure an exclusive environment that the rest of the world envies and wants to emulate. We'd have to secure the island from bad behavior that tourists and transients may inflict. First, why not give visitors at the airport, or better yet, on their flights before they arrive, a Mauitopia code of conduct of 1 or 2 pages? This brochure would outline our vision and what we're trying to achieve, coupled with expectations for their behavior while they're here. Second, explain the consequences for violating this code. Consequences could include fines, community service, and being thrown out of Maui County for varying lengths of time, depending on their offenses. Removing people for the sake of safety and protection is not such an outrageous idea. Currently, the law prohibits sex offenders, for example, from entering a zone or precinct. It also provides restraining orders to keep ex-lovers or others a safe distance away from each other. Due to overcrowding of our prison system in Hawaii, the state has even sent convicts to jails in Arizona. Our court system would decide what measures would assure a society in which people feel safe and can flourish. Unlike in fascist societies, the democratic rule of law would reign. Number 9. Show extreme concern and care for the environment. Recall the state's motto, "The life of the land is perpetuated in righteousness." Our aina, ocean, pristine air, trees, plants, wildlife, and the natural beauty they afford give us a sense of pride in this most beautiful place on earth. For example, an aesthetic appreciation may cause us to adopt laws that bury wires below the ground rather than have ugly eyesores strung overhead. Let's keep our environment the prettiest place on earth, or make it even better. Mahalo for doing your part in creating this historic endeavor. The Hawaiians long ago believed that Maui was indeed the best, and therefore named it Maui Nokaoi. Thanks to our efforts, our children and grandchildren will someday say that we did it. We will have created a real, true paradise. Maui really Nokaoi. Some residents remember a time a few decades ago when many of the elements we've discussed in this booklet called Mauitopia existed, such as having a safe community, having a mutual respect for one another, and recognizing the vital role every member of the society performs. In some ways, we need to go back to that while utilizing modern technology. Taking advantage of the power of positive suggestion and modifying Herzl's prompting of over a century ago, we will recognize that through our collective power, we willed creating Mauitopia, and it is no dream. So again, I'd really like to encourage everybody out there, I know it's Monday morning, but please give us a call and let us know what you think. What are some of the positive aspects that you could see yourself participating in and helping to bring about Mauitopia? Or what are some of the obstacles in front of us that we're going to have to conquer and challenges? One of the obstacles I'll mention is the fact that they're one of the platforms, one of the points of Mauitopia, is that there will have to be no crime on the island in order for all of us to feel safe and do what we love and blossom spiritually and career-wise. And in one of the future shows, I will have somebody, a guest, coming in to talk about different aspects of how to handle dealing with crime. And I also will have somebody from hopefully from the Maui Police Department, so we'll have a different point of view, more of the standard point of view on how to deal with crime. So again, please give us a call. We'd love to hear from you.
Number 242-7800, 242-7800. Give us a call. The lines are open.
You can go ahead and play some music.
Okay, here you go. Here we go, Maui Man.
In the sun, where the ocean and mountain and sky are one, it is part of a much higher plan. Maui Man, where the upcountry flies to the sea, and the rainforest waterfall shouts melodies under stars at night. He touched my hand, Maui Man. Maui Man, feel the rain, Maui Man. He's a boy with a surfboard, the right wave coming somewhere out there. Balancing, dancing, precision on the crest of the swell. Laughing with wild abandon as paradise child. Embrace under full moon, bright heavens, and green trees of lace, with a ginger and jasmine on cool breezes fan. Maui Man, Maui Man, feel the rain. Maui Man, I'll take your pain. Maui Man, catch the sun. Maui Man. The ocean and mountain and rainbows are one. It is part of a much higher plan. Maui Man, Maui Man, feel the rain. Maui Man, I'll take your pain. Maui Man, catch the sun. Maui Man.
All right, that was Patricia Watson with Maui Man. And we're back live on Creating Mauitopia. It looks like we have a couple of phone calls here, so hang on a second. Hello, caller. You're live on the air on 1110 AM, Creating Mauitopia. How are you today?
Good morning, Gary. Hello, Ori. How are you?
Okay, who am I speaking with?
This is Cindy.
Hey, Cindy.
It's so funny, you know, because I love that song. I knew Patricia as you did, and I guess you helped produce that, but it's such a lovely song, and I always find it inspiring to listen to. But, you know, it's funny, I was thinking of you because I had a chance to talk to, do you know the guy from the Upcountry Farmers Market, Neil?
Yes.
You know, I really find that he's kind of having, there's so many people on Maui that are kind of creating their own dream that is really helping people, and I had a chance to talk to him, and I thought, wow, here's a chance that people have to do something, and all the farmers can sell their goods, and, you know, he was even giving away free food on Saturday, and I was just like, wow, there's so many people just doing it here. But then my question comes like this, because I think there's so many people that are living and working and doing the good stuff, but, you know, life is an experience of learning, and I really think part of this whole strange experience of being here on this planet is the learning experience. So, unfortunately, a lot of people learn through their mistakes. Not a lot of people learn through their positive things. Right. Unfortunately, we do learn by making mistakes. So if you take away that part that makes mistakes, and if you just say, oh, you can't make mistakes, you got to only do good, then you're taking away that whole process of evolution and learning, I think. So I would just like your thoughts on that, because it really seems like, you know, there is so much that really is just paradise here, but there's always going to be people making mistakes, and as they make mistakes, they're engaging other people in that process, but they will eventually learn from it, sometimes the hard way.
Well, Cindy, that's a really interesting point, and that's actually one of the reasons that I'm a big believer in the law, because I like knowing that mistakes that are made will have consequences if people violate the laws. For example, even something as simple as a speeding ticket. You know, if I drive faster than the speed allowed, I could possibly get a ticket. So I like the fact that we have these laws, again, whether if somebody steals from me or worse yet, if somebody hurts me, we have the laws in place that's, for me, that's a minimal amount of protection. I mean, we would like to obviously hope that people do a maximum amount, meaning that people do random acts of kindness and things that help further the community or things like the farmers market. But at the same time, at a minimal level, we have the law that protects us, and we know that that will be enforced, hopefully, even if you don't get taught one time, you might get caught the next time. So,
well, that's can I just bring up an example that actually was on the show before your first light, and maybe people can chime in on what they feel. It was very interesting getting everyone's opinion of what happened with the laws on the Trayvon Martin and George Zimmerman trial. Here were, you know, really two completely divided opinions of what happened when something went wrong. And I've got to get dressed to go to work, but I'd love to, I'm going to listen on the radio and see if other people have an idea on that, because this is, I think, a really good example of what happens when a law gets broken and people have to decide what happens, and no one seems to, I mean, it seems pretty well split as far as people's opinion of what happened with that law and the way the judgment happened, but I'll listen on the radio, and I'll see you soon. Thank you.
Thanks for your call, Cindy.
Bye.
And I'm going to talk about, I was hesitating to talk about the Zimmerman case, the Trayvon Martin Zimmerman case, but I think I will, because I've got a point to make that Cindy brought up, too. Let's go to the caller first.
Hi, caller, you're live on the air at 11:10 a.m. Go ahead.
Yeah, how you doing there? Yeah, I'll add on to what Cindy just said in reference to people with problems. One thing that I've discovered since I've been here quite a few years on the island, I'm from the mainland as well, is that a lot of people have fallen through the cracks dealing with the mainland and American system, economically especially, and probably social behaviors. And my feeling is that the people that come here that are not indigenous to the island need to embrace themselves and connect more with the community. And taking on, it's wonderful that you're just saying, oh, we have to have more aloha, which is absolutely correct. And to live the aloha, which is absolutely correct. But a lot of times I find that going to social events and things like that, there are less indigenous people that are involved in this and more of the ones who are not. And related to the crimes and the homeless, I think people have to meaning to go to the prisons, go to the schools, go and deal directly with the homeless and see what their needs truly are versus what's written on a piece of paper and second and third hand information, and really set up programs. Maybe some of the people who are the haves and the have mores go to the schools and present programs, you know, to the students that will help them improve their life standards, you know, in a way that they know that they would have a better life. Go to the homeless. Go to the ones who are in prison. See what their issues. You have a lot of talented people that are locked up who have made mistakes in the past, and some of them are not given a second chance to correct themselves for another life. This is their home. So why not give them an advantage of having something that would be more valuable than them than sitting behind bars and then having recidivism because they come back out, they can't find anything to do, so they go back to the same behavior.
Yeah, and I agree with you. I'm a big believer in second chances. Actually, just recently I referred somebody who had been in prison to get a job, and he got it at a local restaurant. So mm-hmm. I agree with you.
And along with that, even there's some who, and I say, there may be skills that they might not even be aware of. Just like when you go to school, you know, you may in high school you say you're going to do certain things in high school. When you go to college, oh, this is going to be my field. You get in college, maybe after the first year, says I'm going to change my field and do something totally different.
Right.
Because the experience that you've had maybe changed. Same thing with those people. It may be something locked in them that they don't have a clue until they're exposed to it, and then all of a sudden, bam, a light comes on and says, "Oh yeah, I think I'd like to do that."
You know,
so we have to, in my opinion, expose people more from what information and experiences that have come from the mainland that certain people on the in the islands may not have an insight of. They see the surface of it, but they don't know how to acquire it or how to embrace it. Are you following what I'm saying?
I definitely am. And you know, they say that people change on average careers 7 times during their life. And
right.
So people are looking for what it is that they can most contribute.
Mm-hmm.
Well, thank you so much for your call.
All righty. Have a good day, Ben.
You too.
All right. Phone lines are open again. 242-7800. 242-7800.
I thought we had another call.
No.
Okay. Let's discuss then, again, I was hesitant to do this, but everybody was watching lots of the George Zimmerman, Trayvon Martin trial in the last few days.
Another call here.
Looks
hello,
like
caller. You're live on the air on 1110 AM. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Good morning. This is Bill from TA. Your ideas sound pretty good on paper. However, I've heard you on a couple occasions you're advising people to break the law by you were suggesting that people should put coins in parking meters that are about to expire on people you don't know. But that is against the law. They had a guy called the meter angel, and he got fried for doing that. And
please educate me on this. I didn't realize it is against the law.
That's against the law.
To put,
I don't know what they call it, but it is against the law to do that because you're taking the revenue from the they've got meter cops that are looking for that, and they will give you a ticket even worse than your speeding ticket that you would have got. You know?
You're saying they'd rather give you a ticket and collect that money than have you put in a quarter or a nickel?
Oh, yeah, those meters aren't there just there for looks. They generate revenue from that.
Hmm.
But also, and on the Zimmerman case, that was a complete miscarriage of justice. The jury completely just decided to ignore the facts of the case. That's all I've got to say. Thank you. Keep on. It sounds like a positive show. I say good morning to people when I walk down the street, and they don't even say anything back to me. They don't even acknowledge me, you know. The only time they ever want to speak to you is if they want to, you know, insult you or... yeah, it's pretty... I don't know. You got a lot of work cut out for you, but thank you for the show.
Well, thank you so much for your call. I'm interested. This is an interesting situation as far as the trial, where there was a jury of your peers, supposedly, 6 women, one of which was, well, 5 of which were white, one of which was, they call Hispanic white, and they acquitted, they found him not guilty. And we can always second guess that verdict. The truth is, the jury has spoken. The truth is, there is a young person, 17-year-old Trayvon Martin, who was shot dead, which is obviously a tremendous tragedy. And none of us was there to witness everything that happened, but there's been a jury, and a verdict has been reached. There was an interesting caller when I was coming into the station this morning. He said, you know what? My mother's white, my father's black, and I am really tired of everything being seen in a black and white way. We're all just people. Let's just look at the fact that we're people, and then we have certain laws, and we have certain systems in place, and people either follow the law or they don't follow the law, and we have police to judge that, and then we have courts, judges, and juries to determine whether the law was followed or not. So again, I don't know what happened. I'm not saying that I know that Mr. Zimmerman is guilty or not guilty, but I have to believe in the fact that a jury has acquitted him, and I think we all need to move on. Anybody have any opinion different from that? I'd love to hear it. I'm sure there will be somebody who has another opinion on that.
Phone lines are open, 242-7800, 242-7800. Go ahead and call in.
Unless somebody does call in, I'd like to bring up something else that we have talked about in the past. I have a good friend who...
Here we go. Looks like
okay, go ahead, Gary.
Good morning, caller. You're live on the air on 1110 AM and 96.7 FM. Hi. What's your name?
Good morning. I was going to make one quick comment on the Trayvon thing.
Sure.
I haven't followed it because mostly you can't get enough facts out of the media these days. So I get a chuckle from someone like your last caller that said the jury got the facts or ignored the facts. He couldn't possibly know that. He wasn't there. So my only comment is that for people that are only going to be happy, if you trust the system and you are happy if there's a guilty verdict, then you also have to trust the system when it comes up with a non-guilty verdict.
Excellent point.
Otherwise, you're really just advocating partiality.
That's a very good point. Like you said, either you trust the system, in which case you accept the outcome, which I do, for example, and the system, all the systems we have in the United States are all imperfect, you know?
Exactly. It's not perfect, but it works pretty well.
In my opinion, better than any country in the world.
I would agree with that.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Winston Churchill said, democracy is the worst possible system in the world, except for all the rest.
Perfect. I like that. Well, thank you. Have a great day, and I'm enjoying the show.
Thank you so much for your call.
All right, phone lines are open again, 242-7800, 242-7800. And you were going to say something before the caller came in, Ori?
Well, before the caller came in, one of the systems I was going to talk about is a good friend of mine had a discussion about what do I mean in the booklet by saying the system will continue working, including Mauitopia, under regulated capitalism. And when you think about it, if you go to the store and you buy milk, do you trust that milk? Do you think that drinking it will make you sick? And again, there's a chance it will, a small percentage chance, but the reality is we have systems in place, for example, the FDA, the United States Food and Drug Administration, that they have certain codes whereby the milk that comes to the supermarket and eventually to your home ends up being, in my opinion, relatively safe to drink. And that's true for lots of other foods as well as for drugs, legal drugs. There's regulations in place that assure that those things are safe. It's true for our water. The county has standards for how good the water has got to be. And again, to mirror what the last caller just said, these systems are all imperfect. However, they're currently in place, and to some degree they work. And the last time I took a drink of water from my faucet, I did not get sick, and I enjoyed the water. And again, we've had lots of discussions in Maui. I've been through them over the years about the chloramides and chloramines and so on. However, we have water that is relatively healthy, and again, it's not perfect, but it works. So that's what regulated capitalism means. And it's not perfect, but it does assure us a healthy supply of food, beverage, and medicine. That's what I have to say about regulated capitalism.
And once again, phone lines are open, so give us a call, 242-7800, 242-7800.
If you want to call in and talk about the trial, that's okay, too. I'm surprised that there aren't other callers. But maybe everybody accepts that what we've already discussed. Not sure what else.
Do you want to go over your pamphlet again, or in case people didn't hear, the missed the first show or something like that? You want to see what's going on there?
Okay. Well,
and the phone lines are always open, 242-7800, 242-7800.
As Gary says, I will go over the pamphlet again, just in case somebody didn't hear it, since I read it during the first couple shows. But the first question is...
And if people are interested, they can go to mauitopia.org and they can download it for free, right?
Correct.
Right, okay.
So the first chapter says, is this an unreasonable proposal? For thousands of years, people have envisioned the creation of an idyllic society. Some people called it utopia. The dictionary officially defines utopia as an ideally perfect place, especially in its moral, political, and social aspects. Originally coined by Thomas More in the 1500s, it referred to no place on earth. Up to now, the closest realization of this may have been the 268 communities called a kibbutz in modern-day Israel. These typically have a few hundred people who volunteer to live based on Zionist and egalitarian principles. They live as a collective community responsible for all the needs of its members. Could it be that our island of Maui, with a population of 155,000 residents, will serve as humankind's first complete society where we try to put in place utopia? Might those of us here now participate in forming Mauitopia? Sounds like idealistic, wishful thinking, doesn't it? Mauitopia must have energy independence, no crime, everyone doing what they love, always acting in a responsible way for making our society better by recycling, doing random acts of kindness on a daily basis, and living life in a sustainable fashion. Doesn't our Ohana deserve this? Wouldn't it be nice if we could all leave our homes without locking the doors, our cars without locking up at the shopping center, and nothing would happen? Wouldn't it be nice to feel safe picking up hitchhikers? This is what most of us want. I remember the first time a few years ago when I took a walk down the beach, chose to walk barefoot, and left my slippers where I had started walking in the sand. I expected to find them when I returned less than an hour later. They weren't. I became enraged. After all, I had moved from the mainland where someone stealing my shoes wouldn't surprise me. But here in paradise, I couldn't comprehend how a fellow islander or even a visiting tourist had helped him or herself to my inexpensive footwear. On Maui. Disillusioned and disappointed, I shoveled back to my car in the parking lot, crossing the hot asphalt and burning my feet. A few years later, my feet had toughened up enough to not get burned. My heartache, however, has lasted to this day. Although I replaced the slippers for under $5 and still walk barefoot on the beach, since then I always carry my slippers with me and dream of a better world. Shouldn't we all be able to trust that our neighbors will respect our property? Could it be that the time for society where we can all relax and feel that our bodies and possessions will be treated reverently by others has come? As the founder of the Zionist movement in the 1800s, Theodor Herzl said, "If you will it, it is no dream." Israel recently celebrated its 60th birthday after 2,000 years of Jews living in exile while yearning for their dream to come true. Perhaps those of us already living in paradise can take inspiration and establish a first-of-its-kind utopian society that makes our dream come true as we make Maui truly no ka'oi. Why now? What makes it possible at this time in history? After all, people have dreamt of utopia and idealists even tried to realize such a society. Examples include the Shaker community in the United States and 15 villages in Finland. Our technological progress has freed us from the burdens of everyday life. Only 200 years ago, 95% of the people spent their time on basic survival needs like food, clothing, and shelter. Today, it takes under 15% of the population. Simultaneously, technological change has produced future shock. Many of us do the best we can to just keep up with the tools required now. Most of those didn't even exist one or two generations ago. Airplanes, the internet, cell phones, voicemail, etc. Many of us feel overwhelmed and in a constant struggle with time as we try to fit everything in while still maintaining a balanced and meaningful life. As an example, I've personally struggled for almost 20 years while using these technological tools. As a super type A personality, while using them, I'd feel impatient, extremely anxious, and like I should always be more productive and accomplishing more. By the way, when I get back to my office at home, there'll probably be 100 new emails, and I have junk mail filters that filter out all the junk, so I'm talking about legitimate emails, people just like my mother, who just say, hey, you have got to look, check this out. She forwards me something that she thinks would be interesting for me to learn about. And again, I have numerous friends who do the same thing, and quite frankly, it produces a feeling of being overwhelmed with the amount of information that I get. Our technological tools do, however, allow us individually and collectively to accomplish more. Mobility, crunching of reams of information, and global connectivity has liberated many of us and opened up new ways to work. We can now communicate inexpensively with most people on our planet while living anywhere we want to. Entrepreneurs can send emails from their laptops on the beach in Maui to do business worldwide. They can buy and sell stocks and communicate with their family and friends around the globe. All this communication happens relatively inexpensively. When I grew up, my parents treated us a few times a year to a phone call to my aunt and uncle in Europe, as it used to cost a dollar a minute. Today, less than 40 years later, vendors compete to allow you to make calls for pennies a minute. In trying to create utopias, people have tried implementing Marxist and socialistic societies without money. In the kibbutz in Israel, for example, its members all earn equally. Maybe we can have that someday. For now, Mauitopia will be based on a form of, here it is, regulated capitalism and the power of free market economics. Politically, it will resemble the representative democratic government of the United States. It may not be the best form of government, but as Winston Churchill said, it's the worst system except for all the others in the world. Not perfect as a system, but the power and wealth of the United States demonstrates its success. People from all over the world want to emigrate to the U.S. and fall in love with Maui once they visit it. Many people will view Mauitopia as an unthinkable or even an unreasonable proposal. After all, skeptics will point out we are all human beings, each doing the best we can to survive in a selfish world. The scientist Charles Darwin wrote his theories of evolution and survival of the fittest a little over 100 years ago, describing animal species. For them, basic survival dominates most of their lives. As human beings in the developed world, now less than 15% of our society spends its time ensuring society's basic needs. Why can't we create a utopian society that works well for everyone with the rest of our time? In the last several decades, authors have written about modern utopia to outline an attainable, not a pie-in-the-sky, society. What better place in the world to attempt to put such a utopian society into practice than here in this island paradise? While the concept has been thought of previously, technological progress and changes have occurred relatively recently to make Mauitopia a reasonable proposal. That doesn't mean it'll be easy to achieve. Many dreams, like flying or going to the moon, have required an incredible amount of imagination and effort. They also required overcoming seemingly insurmountable obstacles in their day. When President Kennedy announced in 1961 that we would land a man on the moon by the end of the decade, his chief science advisor said, "With all due respect to President Kennedy, we don't have the electronics, metals, or fuels to do anything like that, let alone in a decade." As we all know, we did land a person on the moon in 1969. Similarly, we know what we need to do to create Mauitopia. Won't you please read the booklet at mauitopia.org? It is less than a half-hour read, even if you're a slow reader, and consider the proposal I'm making here. Napoleon Bonaparte reminds us that impossible is a word to be found only in the dictionary of fools. As Johann Wolfgang von Goethe, the 19th century author of the book Faust, said, "Whatever you can do or dream, you can do. Do it now. Boldness has genius, power, and magic in it." Together, we can realize this proposal and give future generations the gift of viewing the creation of Mauitopia as having been a reasonable proposal. So again, the phone lines are open.
If you have any thoughts out there on what Ori just read, 242-7800, 242-7800. Give us a call. Oh, here we go, Ori. Good morning, caller. You're live on 1110 AM.
Good morning. Earlier you're talking about the law and stuff. Well, what about, like, people that are above the law?
Oh, I don't know. I'm not sure who you're talking about, because I don't think anybody should be above the law.
Well, they shouldn't be, but you know that there are people above the law.
Can you
get super rich people that get away with doing all kinds of stuff? You know it happens.
I'm sure it happens, and that's unfortunate. I also know that many times they end up being prosecuted at a later time when they do get discovered.
For example, I remember a bank a while back was involved with money laundering with, like, a Mexican drug cartel. Mm-hmm. And when they got caught, nobody went to jail. All they got was, like, a fine. And that was it.
Hmm. So why did nobody go to jail?
I don't know why. Because they were above the law for some reason.
Well, they ended up having to pay a fine, right?
Yeah, which is whoop-de-doo.
It's not a big deal for them, huh?
Yeah.
Well,
they have to stop them from doing it again, and hopefully they don't get caught and pay another fine.
Yeah, and again,
stuff like that is gonna, you know, make it hard for Mauitopia to exist.
That's a good point. So it says that we almost more need to make sure that everybody follows the law, right?
Yeah, and that includes, you know, MPD. Or not just MPD, but all police.
Right.
Because there are police officers, too, that, you know, think they're above the law and do illegal stuff.
And again, it's an imperfect system, and hopefully it's not a lot, but there's probably some of them.
So how are you going to solve that?
Well, unfortunately, we live in an imperfect world. And morally, I have faith that bad behavior will get punished at some point. And hopefully that includes our legal system, that at some point it will catch up with them. And there are lots of famous examples of people like Bernie Madoff, right, on a national level, who do eventually get prosecuted and put in jail.
And Enron, the people from Enron.
Oh, Enron, yeah. Good example. Greed.
Yeah. Huh?
No, I was just saying, greed is one of the issues, the problems, right?
Yeah, greed and power.
Right. Agreed.
They always, well, they say power corrupts, absolutely.
Right.
Okay, well, I figured I'd just chime in, help you guys out a little bit, give you something to talk about.
Thank you.
Have a good morning.
I appreciate
you,
your call.
All right, phone lines are open still, 242-7800, 242-7800. So you want to listen to a little bit more music here from the... Or do you have something more you want to read, or...?
Well, I was going to go on to chapter 2.
Okay, go ahead.
Which...
Oh, here we go.
Oh, great, here's another call.
All right, caller, you're live on the air. Hello, caller.
Oh, hi. Turned down my radio, sorry.
It's okay, hello.
Just want to know Mr. Goppelman's thoughts about... It seems like an inevitability that that our country is there's gonna be some kind of major crash, much more worse than the 08 one. I mean, financially, and it just seems like, because the numbers don't add up, simple math will tell you that there's gonna be some major financial crash, and then whatever kind of aftermath. I don't want to be too doom and gloom, but I'm just wondering what strategy would you use to kind of rebuild from the ashes, I guess, the Mauitopia. I guess that's really my question. I'm just thinking that there's an inevitability of a major realignment or major change in the whole country that we're connected, we're connected to. Obviously, being a state, I'm just wondering how if you've given thought to that, or if you, or you're just going to try and work within the system, I guess, to make the changes.
Okay, sure. Well, number one, I'd like to preface my comments with the fact that I tend to be an optimist, and I have heard all of the doomsday predictions, for example, about the stock market, for many years, and yet, as you know, we're at a record high. So there's really no way to predict where things are going to go in the future. What you can predict is one thing about yourself, which is that you have a unique gift or contribution that you can make to our society, and that should allow you sufficient income for your needs. And I think if you really develop your capabilities, whether it's starting a business as an entrepreneur or contributing your business, your gift at somebody else's business, or even for the government, you are going to maximize your contribution to society. And again, in the long run, not necessarily today or tomorrow, but in the long run, your own financial well-being. I can't really comment on how to maximize your financial well-being in terms of investments. I mean, as we've discussed during this show, I mean, money can come and go. And hopefully, the other suggestion is, whatever you do, I've learned in my own life to do it legally. Not that I've ever done Bernie Madoff-type illegal activities, but I've just found, in fact, on Maui, one of the things that's interesting is I was told this when I arrived on Maui 20 years ago, which is that karma works instantaneously. So if you do something bad, something bad will be done to you. Not necessarily the exact same thing, but something similar. Conversely, if you do something good to somebody else or for a cause, something good will be done to you. Not, again, not necessarily that same moment or in the same way, but it's one of these banks that you will end up collecting. And that is, in fact, one of my overall points, is that Mauitopia will be created over the next several decades based on a large number of us, some percentage of the 155,000 people who are here, continuously doing acts of kindness and doing good things.
It all has to start somewhere with, you know, one person at a time.
Exactly. One by one.
All right. Thank you, caller.
Okay. Well, thank you. That was a great way to start my day.
Thank you.
All right. Well, we got about a minute and a half left, so you want to kind of close up the show here?
We've discussed that creating Mauitopia is a reasonable proposal, and despite everything that's going on in the world, we fortunately live on a wonderful island paradise here that we want to make even better, including each of us contributing our unique gifts and doing random acts of kindness to all help each other. And let's continue to have not only a wonderful day, but a wonderful week. And let's all continue to practice aloha.
And then join us again next week at 7:06 for Creating Mauitopia. Thanks, Ori. Have a great day.
Sky one, it is part of a much higher plan. Maui man, where the upcountry flies to the sea, and the rainforest waterfall shouts melodies. Under stars at night, he touched my hand. Maui man, Maui man, feel the rain.
With your latest on news headlines, I'm Jack Kiss from Vision Your Real News Center. Firefighters were kept busy over the weekend. As of last night, a brush fire on the Ulupalakua side of Manawainui Gulch, Maupol's 27 on Peatline.